Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we go into your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, Father, so that we can receive and understand the truth of this, your word, Father, the strength and the power, and how to walk and live through this life for the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Now we ask you to be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this study this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 7th chapter of Romans. So we go here to verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. 2. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. 3. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. You know, here in these first verses that I've read, it don't take no teaching because it really teaches itself. It's telling you exactly the way things should be for those that are walking with God and for those that are seeking Him. Now, we know that those that are out away from Him, they're lost. And if they want to make heaven their home, they're going to have to change their lives and come under the word of Almighty God and his ways and his will and not their own. Now, we know that we have a lot of them out here in adultery. I know many that are living that some has had two wives at the same time, some has had three living, and even a couple that I know have been married to six. Now, not all at once. Well, yeah, it was all at once because they were still living. They weren't dead. They were divorced. But, you see, that don't matter. Because actually, marriage is supposed to be undissolvable until death. Now, four, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You know, Paul here is writing, and he's explaining the statements about us not being under the law, and Paul is still on the same subject of the sanctified life in Christ, but now he changes the metaphor. Instead of the analogy of slavery, he uses the analogy of marriage. So long as he liveth, only death breaks maternal union and loosed from the law of her husband. In the event of the husband's death, the wife is free from obligation to her husband and may either remain unmarried or may remarry. Called an adulteress under Roman law, because you see, to marry another while one's spouse is still living and without a legal divorce is adultery. Marriage is an indissoluble union, which in general is broken only by the death of one of the partners. Know that believers' identification with the death of Christ, he is now freed from the law, but joined to Christ to bear fruit unto God. You see, there's a lot of things we don't take into consideration. 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The law is what brought the knowledge of sin to man. Now, but it can't do for you and I what Christ did. A lot of them thinks it can, but it can't. Now, 8. But sin taking occasion by the commandment brought in me all manner of circumstance, for without the law, sin was dead. And for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Sin revived and I died. How about that? Since I was alive without the law once, there was in the flesh a time when Paul lived a complacent life in sensitive to the demands of the law. And he said, I died. When Paul understood the law, he realized that he was accused, guilt, and marked for death. Now, go on here with 10. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceives me, and by it slew me. 12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and the just and good. 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. You know, he's telling us here, the law is holy, just, and good. The law is expression of God, of his righteousness, and is intrinsically good. Sin not, sin not the law produced death. The law shows us that we are helpless under the control of sin and points us to Christ, the only one who can help us. You see, the law lets you and I know what is sin and what is not sin. And when we break that, when the law has showed us something is sin and we break that, then we are moving toward death, that separation from Almighty God. That's why we are to live our life every day in accordance with the word of Almighty God, and doing everything we do for Almighty God. Whatever our work is, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever work we do, we should be doing it as if we are doing it for the Lord God. And we do it, or should be doing it, with joy and not regretting every minute of it like a lot of us did on the work. I worked a lot of works. I've done a lot of different things in my lifetime in the way of work. And a lot of them I hated every moment of. And it shouldn't be that way. But you see, at that time, I didn't belong to God either. Now, Fourteen. For we know not that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. You see, Paul's giving us an example there of a way a whole lot of us lives our lives. Just as I was saying, a lot of the works that I've done, I've done it. And I didn't like it. I hated it. Hated every minute of it. I'd hate to get up and even get ready and go to work. Because I knew the day was going to be miserable to me. But you see, if I had been doing it with the joy of Almighty God and doing it for Him, as if for Him, things would have been a lot different. Now, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, then it is good. 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That sin that takes over. Now, 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I find not. 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You see, when we walk in this flesh, that's exactly what happens. We are going to be walking in sin when we walk in this flesh without the Lord Jesus Christ being with us, He and the Holy Spirit. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. That law, you know, is always present with all of us. And Paul seems to equate this with the law of God after the inward man. And this no doubt connects with the new dynamic of service spoken of in verse 6 as the newness of spirit. It refers to the influence of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life to obedience and good works in 8 and 2. And he refers to it as the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, law of sin. The law calls sin to revive. Literally, become alive. Sin takes on an active force throughout this passage, which climaxes in this expansion. The law of sin, it refers to that in man which is sold under sin. It is the law of sin and death. Apart from the indwelling Holy Spirit, the law of sin would dominate in Paul's life. But you see, it didn't dominate Paul's life, because he had the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in him. And with them, he's not serving sin. And he's got the power and the authority to where he doesn't have to get into it. See, that's the difference. Now, 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he'll answer here with this last verse of chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, we have a way to be free of sin. We don't have to let it in at all. Those that are the children of Almighty God, because you have all and everything you need to keep it not only out, but even away from you. We don't have to accept nothing that these evil spirits want to bring to us. We better not. Because if we do, then we are not going to be ready to meet the Lord when we step out of this life and into the next, whether that be individually or when the Lord comes for his church. And we will be found wanting. And we'll hear those words of Almighty God. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You see, there's not one sin going to make it into heaven. So we better be working to get right and to stay right. And the only way we can do that is by spending time with the Lord in prayer, talking with him, and spend time in his word. Because you see, he will, through the Holy Spirit, talk to each one of us. And he can do it by vision. He can do it by dream as we sleep. Or he can speak directly to our hearts and our minds. But as we study his word, the Holy Spirit opens it up to where we can understand exactly what it is saying to us. And that's why we need to be studying God's word each and every day. Think about it. That's what we're told to do in his word. Study his word daily. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 7. I'm not going into 8 because 8 is going to be kind of lengthy, about 39 verses. So, God willing, we'll get into that this evening at 6 p.m. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come before you, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. As we close your word, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit of all of you, Father. And Father, I thank you for the time that we can come together to study this word and to learn more each and every day. Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for them to have peace. I pray for them, Father, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. I pray for this land, Father, and may it repent of all of its evil. And may those that are in our offices, Father, that has brought this evil upon us, be replaced with those that serve you, that love you and love the Lord Jesus Christ and loves this country, and will work with us to put this land back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Kenny. I pray for Dennis and Amy and Tom and Jacob, Millie and Bobby and James and Father, Daryl and Debbie. I pray for Sue, my wife, and all of those in the nursing home in Brandenburg. Father, and for anyone that is living this morning with sickness, may they walk close with you, and may they accept that healing that Jesus gave when he took those stripes upon his back and passed sickness on them. And pass help on to us. Now, Father, keep us safe through this day and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I hope you have a good one. And a safe one today. That speaker just keeps a falling.